This is Scenic Roots. This afternoon, live from the Chattanooga Downtown Library, we have a session from the Nashville-based singer and songwriter John Hart Geary with his friend Jay Brooks.
Memories of yesterday, while I picture someone else holding on to solitude, it treats me well most times, but sometimes in the afternoon I crave these friends of mine. So watch me, I'm leaning. It don't matter where I fall. I'm tired of ask me what I've dreamed about. You've seen me chase it wild. The intrigue I can't live without. This transience is tired. Watch me, I'm leaning. It don't matter where I fall. I'm tired of scheming, feeling foolish when I talk. Starting to remind, maybe I could quit this stuff. Growing younger is a lie. So watch me, I'm
what's up, everybody? My name is John Hart. I am an artist based in Nashville, Tennessee, and I am here with my good friend who's going to introduce himself.
I'm Jay Brooks. I'm a live and work in Chattanooga, and am honored to get to play with my good friend John Hart, to get to play a couple originals, play some covers, and get to hear some of John Hart's stuff as well.
Yeah, so that that last song is called Watch Back. It was on the EP I put out about a year ago called To Keep From Losing. So I'm going to play a mix of some older stuff and then some newer stuff that I haven't put out yet. This next song is one of them. Wrote this a few months ago, and it's called Dim My Spirit.
Often romanticize we once reveled in. Lies drawing tender along the horizon. And why can't I remember all the lies and the violence? It's 'cause you dim my spirit. I don't wanna hear it. I just tighten up. But then again, oh, those promises I swore I'd keep were growing weak and wearing thin. 'Cause you dim my spirit. I don't wanna hear it. I just love you still like just before. Everybody's laughing. Are they really happy? Will tomorrow be the same? And damn this useless habit. How'd I let this happen? Well, I'm not drinking for today. Well, I'm not drinking for today. Well, I'm not drinking for today.
That might be one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to play one of my few originals that I have. And I wrote the song from one morning, actually one evening, sitting in a tree stand while I was deer hunting.
Shadows growing longer,
on the forest floor. Thinking about life up in this tree. All time standing still. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Lord help me, I pray. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Take all the pain. Sunshine dropping down in the southern sky. Why don't I do this every day? Morning watch is all I say. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Lord, help me, I pray. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. I'll take all the pain away. Darkness falls on the old oak trees. Nothing I can do or say to get things right today. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. Lord, help me, I pray. I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. On the forest floor, thinking about life up in this tree. All time standing still.
All right, we're gonna do the first of a couple cover songs. Jay and I are both big Neil Young fans, so we're gonna play one of his songs. I'm called Helpless. There is a town in North Ontario. We dream comfort men. To spare, and in my mind, I still need a place to go for all my changes were there. Blue, blue windows behind the stars, yeah. Big birds flying across the sky, throwing shadows on our eyes. It leaves us helpless, helpless, helpless. Baby, can you hear? Are locked and tied across the door. sing with me somehow. Blue, blue windows behind the stars. Yellow moon on the rise. Big birds flying across the sky. Throwing shadows on our eyes. It leaves us helpless, helpless, helpless. Are locked and tied across the door. Baby, sing with me somehow.
On Scenic Roots, Live in the Library, a session from the Nashville-based singer and songwriter John Hart Geary with his friend Jay Brooks, who took a moment to talk about writing and his process.
This might sound like a rather arcane question, but it struck me as maybe getting to the heart of it. I'm wondering if you make music to write or if you write to make music. Which comes first?
I'd say I write to make music. That goes back, I was actually talking to somebody about that the other day, and I was there was a teacher from Mississippi who I knew in college and contacted me to ask me to make a video about my writing process. And as I was talking about it, I kind of talked about the fact that when it comes to the process of creating stuff, one of the questions was like, how did you find your love for writing? And I was like, it sounds kind of cliche or maybe even kind of corny, but found it because I kind of had to. It was one of those deals where it's like the writing part of it always came first and then the music came after that. It was always like this kind of cathartic experience of making sense of what was going on in my head. And then, fortunately, the music just kind of naturally came along with that, so it transitioned.
Yeah, you know, it struck me listening to you, and I'm not sure that I've really necessarily articulated it that way before, but it does seem to divide into that. There are people who seem to make music and they write because they need something to play. And then there are people who play because they want a vehicle for the expression. My wife will say, I don't really know what I think until I say it. And I think, you know, that's why a lot of us write, isn't it? To find out what it is we're thinking.
Mm-hmm. John Hart's always done, he was an English major in college and always the writing side didn't come easily necessarily, but it's part of you, it's part of your natural being. Whereas for me, when I'm writing a song, it's much more difficult for me to write the lyrics. And so a few songs that I've thrown his way, he's helped me form verses and choruses, and you know, I love the sound. I like coming up with, you know, the melodies and the sounds, and the words I'm just not great at forming. And so it's helpful to have him, who's a wonderful songwriter.
Thank you, Joe.
And again, you know, that seems to be relatively common. There are a lot of people who melodies come easily to them, but they can't get much beyond sort of scat singing, you know, when they actually have to write a lyric to fit it.
Yeah, it's always kind of been like a cool puzzle to me almost, because there's like this, I mean, you could probably say literally infinite amount of possibilities that words can fit together to express thoughts, express ideas, express emotions. And I think it's really cool to have something, because I think a lot of society today is to an extent confining. I mean, like, whether that's time or work obligations or whatever, it's like when you write, it's like there's nothing that confines you within that, which is I think that's why I'm always drawn to it, because it never gets boring.
You enter a different space when you write?
I'd say so. Yeah, it's very personal. Like I mean, from a career standpoint, I would say even almost maybe to a detriment or to a point of fault of, like, I don't really co-write with people. Jay and I will write together, but Jay's, and you mentioned this earlier about how we were in sync playing and we don't live in the same city. Jay's like kind of the only guy, the only friend I have that I play music with. Like, sometimes it just clicks, and it does, you know. Last night was the first time we played together in 4 months, probably, just to run through stuff. But going back to the writing side of it, like, normally it's entering the space. It's like a very personal thing. It tends to be pretty sporadic, and kind of happens in like short spurts of me trying to make sense of what's going on in my head. So
you write when the muse strikes you.
Absolutely. And you know, it's one thing about being in Nashville and living with other musicians and stuff. It's interesting to observe, and it's probably given me a really good frame of reference for being okay with my process, because a lot of other people, especially in Nashville, where there's just a lot of volume of songs just being pumped out all the time, a lot of people take a really formulaic approach, and you know, so being there and being in that environment, I kind of had this reckoning with myself where it's like, is there something wrong with the way that I'm doing things? And then I realized, like, I can't change it. Like, I can't force it, and I don't want to force it. And the moment that I start doing something I don't want to do when it comes to music is hands off.
You're not alone, John. I had a conversation, actually it was a couple of months ago, with Kim McLean. Do you know Kim McLean?
I don't think I do.
She's a songwriter
in
Nashville. She has had quite a lot of success writing for, as she put it, writing for secular artists. She's written with Loretta Lynn. She's written with Dolly Parton. She's written with Betty LeVette. But then she's also written gospel songs. In fact, Bill Gaither told her that she had changed the sound of gospel music.
Okay.
She started a company that is, I mean, it's just about everything you can think of, soup to nuts kind of deal. You know, she'll do publishing, she'll do promotion, to event organization, so on, so on, so on. She said, I'm not doing this to compete with Music Row. I wanted to create a company for creatives, to give them the freedom to write as you're describing, to write as they feel it, and to write the music that they want to write, not to write on commission like the way they want you to write in Music Row. Mm-hmm. And we all know the result of that Music Row approach, you know. I mean, it's okay, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, I hear it when I listen to the radio. It's like, that's radio music, and it's obviously written for the radio, mm-hmm. you know, and it sounds all right, but
sterile.
It's like something that tastes really good, but you can't remember it after you've eaten it.
Right.
You know?
That's so true.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right in your approach, yeah, personally.
Thank you.
Because I think that that is what makes music that will resonate. Sitting here right now, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head whose work has lasted who doesn't write like that.
Yeah, I can't either. I think that kind of, at least, you know, brings me some peace about, you know, because that's the other thing about Nashville is that everything happens so fast, and so it's really easy to, like, get caught up looking, especially with social media, because you literally see it every day. But, like, one thing that I've seen is, like, people that I've known in the last couple of years, you watch, like, when it starts to take off, it goes fast for a lot of people, and to see this growth, and it sometimes I feel like this crisis of I love music and I love playing music and I love making music, and it's like if that's what I can, it keeps me alive in some ways. And it's like if that's what I want to do, then you have to figure out how to establish yourself to the point where you can make a career out of it. And kind of being in that environment makes me think through, like, well, okay, well then what do I need to be doing, or what can I be doing different or better or whatever. And a lot of times the easy temptation is to fall into doing more what other people are doing or writing things that might initially sell or be more relatable. But then I think back on the Dylans and the John Prines and the Neil Youngs, and be like, they it doesn't strike me that they were writing for anybody else. And it's like they had to get it out, and it has stood the test of time.
Yeah, I think, well, I guess whether we're talking about music or poetry or particularly music and poetry, I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff out there that wasn't written as an expression of anything other than whatever somebody was commissioned to write for a given purpose. But again, you know, the people whose work we celebrate and that tends to be repeated by successive generations, it's not a craft first. It's an expression.
Absolutely. It's cool that it just comes at such random times. I know one song I had on my EP that I put out a year ago, like I woke up one morning, and as soon as I woke up, I like heard this chorus in my head, and I just like rolled out of bed, grabbed my guitar, and like wrote it out, and it ended up sticking. And that's just how I prefer for it to happen. It doesn't always happen like that. And I do think that there's like this hard to find line of discipline and spontaneity. But I tend to err on the spontaneous side for better or worse, I guess.
Well, you know, it's been said that as much as people like to talk about the muse, the reason that you have that relationship with the muse is because you've developed it and spent a lot of time honing it so you can hear it, you know. When did you first realize that you could write songs and that this process was something that you could trust?
I wrote my first, I've had kind of a weird trajectory, at least an uncommon trajectory, I would say, but I wrote my first song when I was like 16, after my grandfather passed away. And then I was just worried about other stuff in high school sports and whatnot. And then wrote like a couple early on in college, just kind of messing around. But it was country stuff, and I didn't think that that's really what I wanted to be playing. And then after my junior year of college, I was working on a ranch in Colorado, and the last song that we played, Dig My Earth, I had this like, it was this period of time where there was like no drama in my life. And I didn't write a song for like 2 or 3 years, and I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to invite drama back in, but I also want to write songs. So I had this idea where I was like, well, maybe it didn't have to be about myself. And I just kind of made up and wrote that song. And after I got done with that one, I was like, I think that this is pretty good. And it felt right. It came pretty easily, I guess, or at least naturally. And it was at that point. So I was about 21 and where I was like, I think I'm going to give this a go. But I also didn't start trying to give it a go until I was like 25. So taught school and did some other stuff in between, but kind of kept writing songs throughout that period.
Are you, you're a full-time performer now?
Well, I was kind of splitting time. I was kind of doing the Nashville thing of like playing a lot of shows and kind of had some side hustle jobs. I also write for people. Like, I've written a couple books for people and done some freelance writing and whatnot, and had a couple odds and ends here and there in Nashville. And then I was broke, but I was playing a lot of music. In the last 9 months, unless you're a huge label artist who's backed, you know, with finances like that, I don't know how anybody's full time in it right now with everything being shut down. But I'd like to get back to it and get to that point. So
it is something of an existential crisis at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I literally had that. I had this like time probably from like April to July where I was literally trying to have to convince myself why music mattered. Like, why it was special, why did it do something to me? I think it's because I just lost touch with just the emotion, the feelings, the environment of playing a show. And actually, with Jay, it was, this is the only other thing I've played since March. He was playing a gig, just kind of an acoustic, mostly cover set on Lookout Mountain. And I was like, look, man, I'll come over and play. I don't have anything else to do. And I'd like, and as soon as we started playing together, I just like broke out in this huge smile. And I was like, that's it. You know, that's why it is what it is and why it means what it means. And so, yeah, it is an existential crisis. Fortunately, like playing music seems to solve that a little bit.
This one is called, I think John Hart named it for me, Lover of Mine.
Did I?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't.
Just maybe on accident. And this is a song, this is a sappy love song that probably sounds like a depressing, sad song, because those are the only songs I know how to write and sing, and the songs I love.
Foothills of Appalachia, my baby and me, dreaming about our future, where will we be? One thing I know is true, I'm glad I'm with you. No matter what comes, I'm glad I'm with you. Honey, baby, sweet lover of mine, without your love I'm dying. Won't you stay with me, darling? Don't you ever leave my side. Don't you ever leave my Sunday morning rain is coming, baby's asleep in the crib. Time to lay down this morning, ruffle the sheets again. Sweet honey, baby, sweet lover of mine, without your love I'm dying. Won't you stay with me, darling? Don't you ever leave my side. Don't you ever leave my side. won't you stay with me, darling? Won't you ever leave my side? Won't you ever leave my side?
So I very rarely play this song. It's one of my dad's favorites. It's called Best Listener. I wrote it, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, probably. It's about driving at night, which is one of my favorite things to do for a multitude of reasons, and kind of talk about that a little bit in this song. So, yeah, this one's called Best Listener.
The song's called Back to the Country. Drunkenly explaining my faith to you, wonder if there's any chance that I'll believe it too. 'Cause my life's in shambles, all this rambling's gone awry. So while I grieve the little things, no need to make me smile.
See, I have a lover, mother of my child. I don't much deserve her, and the boy's got my eyes. I moved from the country to a house inside of town. A couple years with a steady job would surely slow me down. Lately I've been thinking why it's me that's getting old. Thought that's for everyone who let dream and leave their soul. Maybe I can't see it, or I'm scared of what I'd find if I went back to the country. If only in my mind. Why it's me that's getting old. I thought that's for everyone who let dream and leave their soul. Maybe I can't see it, or I'm scared of what I'd find if I went back to the country, if only in my mind.
Cool. This next song we're going to do, not necessarily a Neil Young song, but he was part of the band. So Buffalo Springfield song called For What It's Worth.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. Think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly saying hooray for our side. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life. Well, it will creep. Starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the men come and they take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Let's run.
I slow down every song.
Cover me up.
All right.
All right, we're going to do one more cover. The song's called Cover Me Up by Jason Isbell.
Keeps a hand on the gun. You can't trust anyone. Well, I was so sure what I needed was more. I tried to shoot out the sun. Days when we rage, we flew off the page. Such damage was done. I made it through, 'cause somebody knew I was meant for someone. So girl, leave your boots by the bed. We ain't leaving this room. Someone needs medical help. Chop wood. So cover me up. Know you're enough to use me for good. Put your faith to the test. When I tore off your dress in Richmond on high, I sobered up. I swore off that stuff forever this time. And the old lover sang, I thought it'd be me who helped him get home. Home was a dream, one that I'd never seen till you came along. So girl, hang your dress up to dry. We ain't leaving this room. To the Percy Priest breaks open wide and the river. Yeah.
All right, this song's called Dig My Earth. That's one of the first ones that I wrote.
Way back.
Way back.
10 years ago?
About seven. Seven or eight. Seven or eight, probably, yeah.
Awesome.
My earth, maybe. dim roads ain't long enough to get you off my mind. Sun, it ain't bright enough, your memory still blinds. So I turn the ground and hope you'll turn around and realize the money ain't love.
Originally from Mississippi, he lives in Nashville these days, singer and songwriter John Hart Geary with his friend and guitarist Jay Brooks. Live in the Library, recorded in the state-of-the-art recording studios on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown Chattanooga. Every Wednesday afternoon, we record sessions with musicians like John Hart and Jay. The recordings are primarily of Chattanooga-based musicians and bands, but then sometimes, as it's the case with John Hart from Nashville, the sessions are engineered and mixed by Sam Menser. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me, Richard Winham, for WUTC, and Sam Menser for the Library. And we will have another session here on Scenic Roots, recorded live in the Library next Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock.